It is wonderful to see everybody out this evening. I want to give a special thanks to the visitors that are with us this evening. It is a great encouragement to be in your presence, a great encouragement to see others desire to come out to study God's Word, to hear the Gospel be proclaimed, to choose to put God first in their lives. It is a Friday night, and there are many things that others are doing right now and other things that you could be doing at this time, but instead you have chosen to set time aside to be here. I know the brethren are encouraged and thankful for your presence. We ask that you stick around for a little while so that we can talk and mingle afterwards, but so thankful for your presence. I also want to take a moment to give a special thanks to the congregation here for welcoming my family and I as we've been here this week. We have come here and been welcomed with open hearts, open arms, and been shown great love and hospitality. And it feels like home, it feels like family. We have enjoyed every bit of our stay here and wish we had more time to be able to spend with you. And I'm thankful for the elders here and the men, and just so thankful, and of course, the support that you guys give us, and my family and I, so that we can continue in this work, means a lot to us. But as we have gathered together, we have come together to study God's Word. All week we have been going through the Word of God and looking at how man has challenged God. They have challenged God from the very thing of creation and how we all ended up how we are and ended up on this world and how this world came to be to the way we ought to live our lives. And what we are going to talk about tonight is how it all comes to an end. How this world, how this earth, how you and I and all people who live in it shall come to an end. Once again, men continue to challenge God. So let us open our Bibles, let us look into His Word, see what He has to say about the end of time. As we have tried to do about almost every beginning of the lesson, sometimes it's throughout the lesson, we look at what men has challenged God about. What are man's thoughts? What have men put out there to say that's going to happen at the end of time? Well, man tried to prophesy. They tried to predict when the end will come. Time and again, men have done this. Actually, I believe it's this week. Somebody, I didn't look up to see who it was, but somebody has once again predicted that we are all supposed to come to an end. Don't you know the blood moon that we had back just a short time ago? That was supposed to be a sign. That was a sign according to mankind that all things are going to come to an end. Men have changed the Word of God to say that all will be saved, that there's no need to worry about the end. Men have tried to say that there is no hell. There is no punishment. Once again, no worries about the end of time. Some believe nothing after life on earth. Some believe the earth will just continue to be. Some believe that at the end of time, you know, there will be the rapture and few will be chosen and taken up. And then the Lord shall reign for another 1,000, 2,000 years afterwards, giving everybody a second chance. Giving everybody, once again, another opportunity to be saved. These are men's ideas. These are how men have God challenged God. And we'll see how they challenged God because we're going to open our Bibles. I encourage you to follow along to see that it is God's Word that is being spoken. We'll see how it is these things don't line up with the Word of God. First thing we can talk about, first thing we are going to bring up this evening is talk about when is the end of time going to come. When is it that we can say the end is here? You know, we have set a time to gather together tonight. The congregation here at Rose and Avenue chooses a time to set to gather together on Sundays, gather together on Wednesdays. We set times to meet with one another throughout the week to get to work. You have a time frame on when you're supposed to be allowed to leave work. But when is the end coming? If you turn along with me to Matthew. If you turn along with me to Matthew chapter 24. in Matthew chapter 24, and reading there, and in starting and there in verse 3, here it says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and privately saying, Tell us when these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Here once again, men want to know. That is the problem with trying to talk about the end time. We are just too much need to know everything. We just have to have all the knowledge that there is, all the wisdom that we can have. We need to know. And that's not changed. Here it says, tell us when the end is. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For a nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will raise up and deceive many. And because lawless will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." Here it gives us, reads through and talks about the end. Talks about, you know, all the things we see going on in the world today and have been seeing for time. Wars and everybody not liking the truth and looking for those who are going to itch their ears and looking for another way to get around and hear that sin is okay. And that's what we talked about this week. God has made mention that everyone's going to have the opportunity to hear the word. The end will not come until all nations have the opportunity to hear the word. The word will spread to all nations. It's a wonderful thing to know about our God. He is a just God. He is a loving and merciful God. And He is an equal God. He will allow everybody an opportunity. You turn along with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and in the beginning part of verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And what he is talking about, if you turn along with me again to Revelations. In Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, and reading there in verse 3. Here it says, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know that hour I will come upon you." Here it's saying, "I come as a thief" means He's not going to give us a warning. He will not tell us what time of day, what day at all, when He is going to come. He's not going to give us the time. Because a thief don't want you to be prepared. A thief don't want you to already have the cops on the phone, the cops at the house, or your guns pulled. And he don't want you to be prepared for you to stop him. He said, "He shall come as a thief." Turn back to Matthew chapter 24. Turn back to Matthew chapter 24 and starting there in verse 36. It says, "But of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Understand, here it makes it plain and clear that no one on earth, nor the angels, know when the end shall come. But yet men try time after time after time to prophesy when the end will come. And then that time comes and they say, "Oh, well, I misread it. This must have meant this, and this must have meant this. So we have another year. We have another couple of years." And they just change the day. They keep on trying
to change the Word of God. God is clear right here. No one but the Father knows. And in verse 37 it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known that the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." When is He going to come? He's going to come when we're at work. He's going to come when you're grocery shopping. He's going to come when some are sleeping in their beds. He's going to come on a regular day. Just another day. Sun has rose. Hours are passing by. And the Lord will come. What day? I do not know. What month? I do not know. What year? I can't tell you. It's not in the Word of God. It's not there for me to know. Turn along with me to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, and reading there in verse 29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." The secret things belong to God. It's not for us to know. But what has been revealed, that is for us. And what He has revealed is that He will come, and that we need to be ready. That is what He has told us. That is what He has given to us. Instead of talking about what we don't know, let's take a look at the Word of God and see what He has revealed. What we know will happen at the end of time. God reveals a few things that we can expect to happen at the end of time. We turn along with me to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 16, and reading there in verse 27. It says, "For the Son of Man will come in His glory, in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works." Here it tells us that God, our Lord and Savior, will come in the glory of His Father. Here it's talking like it's going to be a glorious sight, this sight here. The Lord coming. He will be coming in His glory of His Father. We see this again in Matthew 25. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25 and in verse 31. Here it says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory." He's going to come in His glory. He's not just going to appear up on this earth, and then He's going to judge us and separate us, but He will come in His glory. Another thing that's brought out in these verses is that He's going to come, and He is bringing angels with Him. He is going to be sending His angels out. In Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24, and reading there in verse 30, says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." He will come once again. He will come in His glory, and He will be coming with His angels, sending His angels out to gather His own. This is things we know will happen because it is revealed in the Word of God, in the Bible that we have. He will come in His glory. Here it brings out also that they will sound the trumpet. This will be a sound that we will hear as the trumpet sounding forth in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and reading there in verse 50, says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Here it tells us that the trumpet will sound, and at the last trumpet we will be changed. That's another thing we can bring out in this verse, that we're going to be changed. We live in a mortal body, a perishable body, made, as we read there in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2 it goes in detail, and we talked about this on Sunday, that we came from the dust of the earth, and dust our body shall turn back. Therefore, when the end comes, we need an eternal body, an eternal form. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean we'll have the same image, but our bodies will completely change? I don't know. It doesn't tell me that. Will we be completely changed? I don't know. I can't tell you that. I cannot go forth and add to the Scriptures. We are not allowed to do that. We are not to add to nor take away from the Word of God. We just are not supposed to do that. Time and again, men do that though. They add to the Word of God. They become false teachers. This is what I can tell you about the end of time. We will be changed. The trumpet will sound. Turn also with me to... It'll happen quickly. This is what it means by a twinkling of an eye. A twinkling of an eye. All this will happen quickly. Turn along with me to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, and in verse 27, here it reads and says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashing to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagle will be gathered together." Here it bringing out that He shall come as the lightning flashes from one spot and goes straight to the other. He starts off. You know how fast lightning is. Lightning is just fast. That's what He's saying here. It'll happen in the twinkling of an eye, just moments. All these things shall take place. This is what I know will happen. And as Christ comes in His glory, as Christ sends out His angels to gather His own, and all this is all happening, we're being changed. Another thing I can tell you that's going to happen, another thing that I can tell you that's going to happen is in 1 Thessalonians 4. In 1 Thessalonians 4, is that we're going to meet Christ in the air, those who are gathered by His angels. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 it says, "For the Lord Himself will be descended from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." For those who try to say Christ is coming again to reign upon this earth, to set up and establish His physical kingdom, or to give everybody another opportunity as He reigns upon. Here it doesn't ever mention that He comes all the way back down to earth. It doesn't say He sets foot upon this earth again. It says we will be gathered up into the air with Him. He shall come on a cloud in the glory of His Father with His angels, with the trumpet sounding. The dead will rise. We shall meet those who are gathered, those who have obeyed, shall meet the Lord in the air. And as these things take place, another thing we talk about is that we will all be judged. Judgment happens at the end. Judgment will come unto all in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and reading there in verse 30, here it reads and says, "For we know Him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Again, the Lord will judge His people. We will all be judged. In John chapter 12, and reading there, and in verse 47, here it reads and says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the Lord, the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." I can tell you what we will be judged by. We will be judged by what God, what our Lord and Savior, what the Holy Spirit has given us. We'll be judged by His Word. That's why we are talking man versus God, because we're not judged by Brandon Hathaway's words. We are not judged by Tom Thornhill's words, or Max, or Jerry's, or any man in this room's words, or any man in this world. They don't get to choose who goes to heaven or hell. We will be judged according to what He has given us. And it will be a just judgment. In Romans chapter 14, and reading there, and in verse 9, it says, "For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that He might be both Lord and both the dead and of the living." He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give an account to himself to God." We all shall give that confession. We will all. You can deny Him all you want, but you will once admit who our God is, who our Lord is. And we will be judged according to our works, according to our deeds, according to our actions, our choices that we make today upon this earth. In 2 Timothy 4, and starting there, and in verse 1, it says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." All will be judged. Every one of us will be judged. There are going to be two options to this. We are going to be parted either to the right or to the left when we are judged. Just as a shepherd separates his goats and his sheep, he separates them right and left. We also will be judged. So what will be your answer? What will be the answer? Will it be enter in? Turn along with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And reading there, and starting in verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Here we've talked about already that the Lord is coming, and the reason He's coming, because there is a place prepared for those who obey His commandments. There is a home in heaven prepared for those who are faithful till death. Will you be able to enter into such a beautiful place? In Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And reading there in verse 21. Says, His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Won't those be beautiful words to hear? Enter in, he says. This is what you could hear at the end. This is what you could hear. I keep saying could because I can't guarantee what you're going to hear. I can't preach us all into heaven. This is the option you have from, to choose from. In Revelation chapter 21, here it gives us an idea of what heaven is going to be like. An idea and a beautiful thought. Just as the song goes, how beautiful heaven must be. Well, this is going to give us an idea of what it's going to be like. In Revelation 21 and verse 4 it says, And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Who is this for? Who's going to enter into this? Read with me in verse 7. In verse 7 it says, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Those who overcome. Overcome what? Overcome temptation. Exactly what we read in Revelation 2 and verse 10, that we are to remain faithful until death, and we shall receive the crown of life. Understand, before he says remain faithful, he says beware. The devil is out there. He is trying to tempt you. He has his trap set out. The devil is like a roaring lion waiting to see whom he may devour. But don't worry. We can gain our strength in Christ. We can remain faithful. And if so, we will receive the crown of life. We will inherit what He has promised to His children. A few other things it makes mention throughout here in Revelation 21. In verse 11, it talks about clear, crystal clear jasper. There in verse 11, it says, Having the glory of God, her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Like I said, this is just an idea of what heaven is going to be like. What we might get to see. In verse 19, every kind of precious stone, part of the foundation. And I'm going to take a closer look at that here in just a minute. In verse 21, street of gold. Clear. And understand, gold, when we often look at it, it's not something that is clear. Gold is something that is heavy, it's chunky, and you don't see through it. It's like crystal clear glass. Glass. Clear as glass. How beautiful heaven is going to be. How wonderful heaven is going to be. But if you read with me verse 22, these are my favorite parts right here. In verse 22 it says, But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of a sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. No need of a sun or moon, because the glory of God and the Lamb will be the light. No need of a meeting place, of a church building, of a temple to gather at, because we will be worshiping God and our Savior face to face. Not a better thought to me than that. He can get rid of the gold and the wonderful jewels and stones. To be in the presence of God, truly in the presence of God, will be worth it all. And that's what heaven's going to be like. That's what the end will be like for those who overcome. As we said there, starting in verse 19, and I'm not going to try to pronunciate all these stones, because I'll missay some of them. That's what it's talking about there. Talking about jasper and sapphire and these other ones. these are the foundations. He says these are the 12 foundations of this city he's talking about, an image, an idea of what heaven is going to be like. What a beautiful place heaven's going to be. What a wonderful place to want to go to be a part of. Understand, there's another place that many will end up at. Another place. They will come to these and they will not be allowed to enter in to that place, enter into heaven. So therefore, the answer will be depart, to leave, not to have the opportunity to be there. In Matthew chapter 25, Matthew 25, and turn along with me in verse 41. As it reads here, and says, I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison. In verse 41, let me get up to the right part. It says, then he will also say to those who are on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, when you end up watching a movie and it has to do what they say is heaven and hell, often, and this is how men, once again, gets it wrong, often they have the devil ruling over hell. That he's sitting there laughing and enjoying and having a great time, torturing people. Understand, hell is prepared to be a punishment for the devil and his angels also. He's not going to be sitting there ruling over us, but he's bringing you to his punishment with him when you get caught up in his temptations. It's not a home for him to have a good time. This is God setting up a punishment for him and all who will follow. It's an everlasting fire. Eternal. Once again, we talked about how we will be changed so that we can live forever in heaven. But also those who are disobedient to the Word of God, you will be changed also. Changed so that your body, whatever form of body that God gives us, will be able to withstand an everlasting fire. Who here has been burnt? Touched the hot stove, been burnt by fire. I know I've done many things, and the main thing that comes to my mind is my brother had a rope on fire and swinging around and hit me in the back on accident. It hurts. It does not feel good. Pain goes away, though. Body heals. Pain medicine can be taken. But this will be an eternal fire. A fire that will not be put out. In Matthew 25 and in verse 30, there it talks about, it says, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Anybody ever gnash their teeth and just chip them? Not very pleasant also. Is anyone scared of the dark? Because it's going to be completely dark. Completely dark. And the noise you're going to be hearing? Gnashing teeth. An eternal darkness and a lake of fire. This is the other option. Turn back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and reading there and in verse 8 says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have the part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death. Once again, it is a lake of fire for all those who do not obey the Word of God. Understand who that puts you with. I'm in high hopes. I'm not around murderers or child molesters or any of those great wrongdoers that we often talk about that are highly in sin, that we say are big sins. Understand what he just said here. He said the cowardly, the unbelieving, all liars. will also have their part in this lake which burns with fire and brimstone. The little sin will get you in there too. To be thrown in a place that was prepared, that is prepared for the devil. The devil who has challenged God, the devil who is there tempting us all the time, who has done so much wrong. Do you really want to end up in such a place? These are the two choices we have. The choices that we make when we choose whether or not we are going to obey the gospel, the plan of salvation that we talked about on Wednesday, whether or not we're going to choose to live a good work life, a good everyday life that we talked about yesterday, or we're going to be lazy, not provide for our own. We're not going to work as unto the Lord. This is the choices we are choosing from. You have to make a choice. One final point for this evening, for the week, is that there's going to be no more chances. There will not be another chance. In Luke 16, it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. Of course, this is not the very end of time of the world, but here it talks about two men who have died and passed on. Rich man, of course, he had great pleasures upon this earth, but he did not do as he ought to. Did not help the poor. It was all about himself. Lazarus. And they both got separated. And when it came to the point, the rich man was in torment, while Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man knew he did not have another chance. The rich man wanted to warn his brothers any way that he could. Send Lazarus back. And the answer was, if he will not hear those who are already preaching, he will not hear the prophets that are already out there, he will not listen to a dead man. There wasn't another chance to give the warning, to shine your light, to extend the opportunity to your neighbor, to your brother, to your sister, to your family, to your friends. There won't be a second chance to bring others to the gospel of God. There won't be another chance for you to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, turn along back with me there. 2 Peter 3, and starting there in verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." There won't be anything left to live on. For those who talk about the reign of the Lord for another 1,000 years and a second chance, the earth will be dissolved. There won't be an earth any longer. Everything will be gone. Again, in Psalm 50 and verse 3, turn along with me. In Psalm 50, and reading there in verse 3, says, "Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very temperate all around him." Everything will be gone. There will be no second chance after that. What we need to realize, and we need to come to understand, that God has given us the second chance now. Every day we see the sun come up, and I can't guarantee it will tomorrow, is another chance for your salvation. Read with me in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Jump over with me to verse 14. In verse 14 it says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without a spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." I think I accidentally left this out on my lesson on Wednesday. Another thing that saves us is today. God giving us today to examine our lives according to His gospel, to repent of our sins, and be forgiven. If you do not obey the Word of God, and something happens on the way home, or if God comes tonight in our sleep, and you have sin in your life, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no other way around it. I can't add to God's Word. I cannot take away from His Word. I can only tell you what we have received from Him. So I extend His invitation once more, as He has given us the opportunity to. If you are here and you need to obey the gospel, do not delay any longer. Come forward and let it be known. Be baptized, washing away your sins and being raised a new person, knowing without a doubt that you're prepared to meet thy Lord. If you are here this evening, you need the prayers of the congregation. If there is sin in your life, I encourage you to make sure you ask for forgiveness and turn from it. Do what you have to do before you leave. If we can assist you in any way, we encourage you to come forward as we stand.